T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 12:48. There have been more stories over the weekend about what they're saying is an increase in volcano tourism. And it comes after 16 people were killed. Tourists and guides and many others were critically injured when a volcano at White Island, New Zealand, went off last week. This was a week ago last Monday. And so CNN did this story, and USA Today did a version of this also. And the headline on CNN was, "What Tourists Don't Get About New Zealand's White Island Volcano." They said White Island is the most popular and most active volcano in New Zealand. It's also a tourist volcano. It's not hard to see why. Most of it lies under the ocean, with the crater conveniently rising just above sea level, ideal for short visits by boat. Although its dangers include explosive eruptions, deadly emissions of sulfur dioxide and superheated steam, boiling mud pools, earthquakes, mudslides, rock falls, and tsunamis, it erupts relatively rarely. And so it's long been popular for adventure-seeking visitors. Now, though, people are asking, what are the implications for tourism at sites like this that, even though they don't go off very often, can still go off and kill a lot of people? And so there are questions now in the wake of that eruption and why people were on that island in the first place, because the alert level there was raised like back in November.
Yeah.
Because of increasing sulfur dioxide gas.
Seismic activity, all kinds of things, sure.
Right. And so why were tourists even allowed to be there? Like, they were getting tremors. Every indication was that this was going to go off.
Yeah.
Why were tourists allowed to be there?
And even if it weren't, you know, you have to ask the same question. Because sometimes things like that happen with virtually no signal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And virtually no warning. So why is anybody allowed to just go there and be a tourist on an active volcano? It's not a very bright thing to do, because none of the things you described, sulfur dioxide and steam and, you know, all these horrifying things, none of that sounds like vacation to me.
So I'm kind of an adventurer when it comes to vacation. And one of the first things that's coming to mind for me is, as I go back and forth on this one, should we avoid any place that might be dangerous?
Every place is dangerous. You can't.
I mean, we get tornadoes in Kansas,
right,
with no warning whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
And although we don't have huge tourism, we do have people that come here despite that threat, you know? And I think in places like Florida, hurricanes come with a little more warning, but earthquakes can hit anywhere without warning whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the difference is your intent, and everybody knows what their intent is. So if you go on vacation to Kansas City, your intent might be, hey, I'm going to go have some great barbecue, or I'm going to go catch a Royals game, or I'm going to go see a Chiefs game. It's not, hey, I'm going to go to Kansas City because we might get hit by a tornado. Nobody ever says that. You know,
right.
Is it true? Yes, you might, but nobody goes there with that intent. When people go to this island, it's, hey, I'm going to go to this island because I might die.
Yeah.
It's implicit in the reason.
And so the question becomes then, where does the responsibility lie?
You
right. know, there is money involved in this for sure.
Tremendous
and that's why
amount.
Tour companies would not necessarily be apt to cancel tours and that kind of thing. And I don't know whose job it should be, you know, to say, no, you don't get, you know, you don't get to do the tours.
Right, because you can cost, I mean, there's also a tremendous amount of money wrapped up in rescuing these people.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're going to go do it. I'm not saying that they, you know, hey, you know, it's not, hey, they knew what they were getting into, let them crash. But there's a lot of money wrapped up in going out to this island and rescuing these people and getting them off that island and the medical treatment that they're receiving as a result of this. So, again, for the sake of showing your friends how cool you are in your Instagram feed, you're going to cost now New Zealand how many millions of dollars?
So should you be responsible for paying that? If you took the chance and you took the risk,
yeah,
and you were injured, should you be paying the government of wherever you are,
yes,
to rescue you because you took the chance?
I think you should. And as a reasoning behind that. I mean, you look at what we do. There are people who end up in the Gulf of Mexico all the time who, through inexperience or whatever, end up going farther out than they wanted to and getting lost.
Right.
And floating around in the middle of the, and the Coast Guard has to go get them. Sometimes they make those people pay for their own rescue. Sometimes they don't. If a squall blew up and blew you out to sea, generally they won't. But if you just got in a boat and decided to go out for the day and because you don't know what you're doing, you ended up out there, then they'll make you pay for the rescue.
Thank you to the texter who just pointed this out. Yeah, people pay a lot of money to go on storm chasing trips.
Yep.
Which is the opposite. I mean, you are literally chasing the danger.
Right.
You are paying someone a lot of money. In fact, we've interviewed somebody, this is maybe a year or two ago, that we interviewed somebody that runs a storm chasing company. You are paying someone for the pleasure of being able to chase a deadly storm, and it may not even happen because storms are unpredictable.
Yes, right.
So you're paying a lot of money for the chance that you may get to see a deadly storm.
But, I see a great gulf of separation between somebody who does that, because a very good friend of mine who was a Weather Channel guy for a while does that for the scientific research purpose of it and has added a tremendous amount to that body of research. There's a big difference between that and somebody saying, hey, put me in the big tank truck so we can go out there and see a storm.
Yeah.
If you're doing it with the intent, when you don't have anything to offer, if you're doing it just for the intent of having the experience and you end up racked up, yeah, you owe some money.
But where do you draw that line then?
It's tough.
People engage in risky behaviors all the time.
Right.
And we rescue them. You know, we save people and spend the money to rescue people involved in DUI wrecks. When
case could be made after the last couple of years, going on a cruise is risky behavior.
Yeah. I mean, at what point do you say the government is not responsible for helping you because you got yourself there? You know, we are providing Narcan. You know, we've got that all over the place for people that opioid overdose when that was a choice they made. But to some degree, you feel like the government has a responsibility to take care of people.
Yeah.
So where are we drawing the line on saying, no, you put yourself in this position. You know, we'll save you, but we're going to send you a bill for it.
Yeah. And how do you define recklessness? Because what's reckless to one person might be perfectly acceptable to another.
So what's reasonable recklessness then?
Yeah.
Because you might argue
roller coasters.
I don't know the last time that this volcano in White Island went off, but you could argue, you know, volcano might go off every 100 years, you know, in a major way, or it might go off 3 times in 10 years,
right.
You know? So you're playing the odds.
And then what do you do about somebody who lives in the way of one? I mean, what about the people who live near Kilauea?
Yeah, what about
they know.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, your house is going to be overcome by lava.
But again, people live in Oklahoma.
Yeah, right.
And rebuild all the time in places that get hit by tornadoes.
Yeah.
You could argue then, you know, no one should ever live in a Greensburg or a Joplin again, because they were hit by a tornado.
And then we've actually spent some time trying to figure this out, going back in college in those days when you ask philosophical questions like this.
Yeah.
Where do you live that's safe? What's safe from everything?
Well, but there are parts of the world that are less prone to natural disasters.
What do you think is the safest one? I love this conversation. So where do you think is relatively safe from natural
disasters? The place that comes up the most seems to be San Diego. That I don't think it's on a fault line.
No.
It's close, but it's not.
It's near, but it's not.
Yeah. When we talk about the big one hitting, we talk about San Francisco.
Right.
Not San Diego. They're not going to get hurricanes. They're not going to get tornadoes. They don't get flooding. They don't generally get bad weather anytime there. So maybe an earthquake. But generally speaking, that's the place that a lot of people mention is safest. I can think of places that are a lot more dangerous than others when it comes to that just seem to be more prone to.
Sure. I mean, Tokyo, for example.
Right. I was in Chile and I was in my first earthquake in a winery in Chile. That surprised me not at all because they have earthquakes all the time. It's right on a fault line. But then there are some areas where you never. The Philippines. I was thinking about going to the Philippines right before I went to South Africa instead. Tsunamis all the time.
And earthquakes.
Yeah, and earthquakes all the time. Mm-hmm. And you think. You cannot believe that it's that popular for tourism, but it is because there's a lot to offer there.
Yeah.
So,
and I guess, you know, again, it would have to go back to, can you show that somebody went there specifically to, you know, to undergo some kind of death defying trip? Because there's lots of reasons to go to the Philippines, too. It's beautiful, first of all. And so there's lots to do and see other than just going to someplace dangerous.
Several people in a row have mentioned Yellowstone. Why do we ever let people go to Yellowstone?
Yeah, right.
With the geysers that are just waiting to go off.
And the fact that it will one day be a traps volcano that will swallow most of the Western United States.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And it's probably, you know, thousands of years away, but maybe it won't be.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And so we still allow, you know, tons and tons of people to go there.
And
so
every year, a couple of them get themselves racked up or die because they go too close to Old Faithful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just really, really interesting. So thanks to everybody who weighed in on this one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.